नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे नरवाणी प्रकारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी पश्चादेशकारिणे हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada 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 Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Haribol, 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 Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki Sri Sri Jagannath Balade Subhadra Maharani ki Sri Balaji Bhagavan ki Sri Lata Prabhupada ki Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganarabhanatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Savitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Nalita Sri Vishakanvidamscha Homajnanate Mirandhasa Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshukhuman Melitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svabarantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadarine Namo Mahavadanjaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्तकांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वशवांसु देवी परमामि हरि प्रिय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे Hare Ram, 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 Hare Ram. So last time when I came, we discussed on the first topic of humility. Huh? So Trunadapi Shuni Chana. So today we'll discuss Tarorapi Sahishnuna. Some places, this verse is called as Taro Riva Sahishnuna in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why Taro Riva? Like a tree. Tree is very tolerant. That is why the word Taro Riva is used. Sometimes a woodpecker sits in a tree and it starts pecking the tree, making a hole in the same tree which is offering him shelter. But the tree doesn't protest. Like that, it is said, even if one
is facing trouble from somebody constantly, although one is always friendly. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is always friendly, but Duryodhana is always giving trouble. You know, he is trying to send them to Varnavat, Takshagraha, and burn them to ashes, feeding poison to Bhima, and always doing some political schemes to destroy the Pandavas. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is like Tarodiva Sahishnuna, very tolerant. Can you show one evidence of when Yudhishthira Maharaj made a plot to kill Duryodhana? Anywhere in Mahabharata? No, where you will find. That's the meaning of tolerance. He never retaliated back. I mean, he never tried to make a plot to kill Kauravas. But although he defended himself and his brothers from the troubles given by Duryodhana. And the tree also, even though the tree may be very thirsty for water, it doesn't extend the arms and ask anyone, please give me some water. Which means Vaishnava has no desires to be fulfilled from anyone else. No expectations from anybody. That's the meaning. That's the meaning of a Vaishnava. That is why Taravriva Vaishnava. The tree doesn't... Sometimes you may see a tree drying up, but it doesn't make any loud shout and ask for water. Hey, I am dying here. Please attend to me. And also tree, the example of tree is given. Why? Because a tree acts as a shelter for others. See, when the Shanukadi Rishis came to know from Suta Goswami that Parikshit Maharaj was willing to give up his body in 7 days by going to the bank of the river. They were shocked to know this. They were asking, what is this? They said, if somebody takes a Jala Samadhi or a Agni Samadhi, which some people might do, selfishly to attain liberation, get moksha, that also sometimes people do. Sometimes you hear somebody entering into waters and going for Jala Samadhi or something like that. Of course, if that fellow is not connected to anyone, he is not doing any welfare for anyone, so he may attain perfection in his own life. There may be some likelihood. But here they said, Parikshit Maharaj, he acts as a shelter for all the people of the world. He is a shelter. So his body is not his property. His body is the property of all the population of the world, because he is giving shelter for everyone. How can he decide to destroy that body in 7 days, they were asking. He should not have done. Because he is living for others' sake, why should he do self-immolation? Why should he destroy his body like this? Because they were not aware that time what was the background. They were not aware. But the point here is this, that Vaishnava means he always acts as a shelter for others. His life is only for service to others. That is Vaishnava. And that's why the tree example is given. The tree lives only for others. How? Krishna explains to all his friends. You will read in the 10th canto. I think this section comes after they finish the pastime of Yajna Brahman Patnis. After that pastime, Krishna and his friends come. They are walking in the forest. And Krishna is calling his friends. Hey, Amsho, Sri Rama, Subala, Arjuna. He is calling everyone, one by one. Hey, Stoka Krishna, hey, I'm sure, Sri Raman, Sobhalajuna. Pashyata Yetan, Mahabhagan, Pararte Kanta Jivitan. That time he tells. Pashyata means, look at this beautiful, big, large tree. Pashyata Yetan, Mahabhagan. Mahabhagan means very fortunate tree. Why? He doesn't live selfishly. In this world, anyone who lives selfishly for oneself, even the inanimate objects will laugh at them, Bhagavatam says. If somebody is living for one's own sake, even inanimate objects will ridicule and laugh at them, he says. That means one should always live for others' sake. Pashyati etan mahabhagan Para artair ekanta jivita, he says. Para artair, for others' sake. Ekanta, only for others' sake. Jivita, he says. How? He says, vata varsha tapahiman. Sahanto varayantinaha, he says. He tolerates vata varsha tapa. Vata means the wind, and varsha means the rain. Tapa means the heat. Himan means the snow. All these things he tolerates. The tree. Like the tree takes the snow and keeps the shade below very warm. Yeah. Similarly, in summer season, he takes the heat and he gives a cooling shade. Like that he says. Similarly, heavy rains fall on the tree, but the tree, people who take the shelter of the tree, they don't get wet. Like that. Tapa varsha, vata varsha tapa himan, sahanto, sahanto, sahan karta. While protecting those who take his shelter. He says. And then he says, the next verse also he says, Padma, I think, Pushpa, Patra, Phalat, Chaya, Digval, Kala, many things he says. The tree also gives tree bark, firewood, it gives flowers, gives fruits, it also gives shade. And sometimes a man comes to the tree to cut the firewood and take it for firewood purposes, branches. And sometimes the tree gives gum. Sometimes the tree acts as a place for the birds to make a nest. And who are the people who take shelter of the tree? Human beings come for shade. You know, squirrels, ants, snakes, sparrows, owls, isn't it? Parrots. So many creatures come and take shelter of the tree. So, the tree offers shelter, plus it offers many items also. Like I told you, the gum, the tree offers the tree bark, it offers wood for making furniture, wood for firewood, many things. It offers many, many items, flower, fruit, and all that. Plenty of items it offers, the tree. Actually, that is why the tree analogy is very fitting. What are the yield of a tree, if you see? So many things it gives. And also, it offers all the things selflessly. He says. That is why Krishna himself glorifies the tree. After saying all these things, that famous verse comes. You all can repeat that verse. Etavad janma safalyam Dehinam iha dehishu Pranair artair diyavacha Shreya acharanam sada. He's saying, Etavad janma safalyam, the perfection of human form of life, Krishna is saying. Dehinam iva dehishu, for the embodied living being while being in this body. How he can make his life perfect? He says, Pranair, one should give one's life for Krishna consciousness. If you cannot give that, then he says, Arthair, give your money. Because money is so dear to the heart of the conditioned soul, it is said even a dead body, if you tell him money, immediately he'll open his mouth. Where is the money? You know, Panam endral pinamam vayi pilakam. In Tamil, there is a slogan. Like that. So that is why the Pranair, Arthair, and then he says, Diya means intelligence. Vacha means the words. Use your intelligence to practice and preach Krishna consciousness. Vacha means at least do some preaching. Pranaya rata diyavacha shreyaha. Shreya means long-term welfare, which is spiritual welfare. Acharanam sada. So like that Krishna is saying. Very beautiful series of verses in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Glorification of the tree. Now, we have to see these qualities in a Vaishnava. Then only we will be able to appreciate this meaning of the tree. One such devotee comes to my mind is our Jayananda Prabhu. You know, Jayananda Prabhu along with some of the devotees would go for Harinam in the streets. And some of the envious elements, people who are envious of the Vaishnavas. So what they would do, they would throw out other, he would be walking in the walkway. they would throw this fish water, the water that is used for washing the fishes, hot water, you know. It would be very hot actually, you know. Just like morning sometime when we take bath, water is very hot, steaming hot, you know. It would be hot. And it would be stinking also, you know, because they would use it for washing the fishes and all. So they would throw, dig 2-3 buckets of water on the road when devotees would be walking on the seat, they would throw. And devotees would be jumping off. You know, when somebody would throw such water. It was very hot also, it is stinking also. So Jayanand Prabhu would turn to those people and say, thank you for washing the walkway. You tell them, please take these cookies and give them cookies. And those people would be shocked, shell-shocked, saying how this person can behave like this. This is the meaning of tolerance. Sometimes people would throw rotten tomatoes, or rotten eggs, they would throw at devotees from the top of their buildings when devotees would go on Harina. And would wet the body, and devotees would just, you know, throw some water on their head and wipe off their body and continue, you know, chanting Hare Krishna and go. And Jayanand Prabhu would be leading. So, it requires a lot of tolerance. Like in Juhu also, when Srila Prabhupada was abroad, Prabhupada got the news, Mr. N is giving a lot of difficulty. And Prabhupada came to know, actually Mr. N had already sold the Juhu property to another man, and then again he sold it to ISKCON, and ISKCON purchased it. And that was his tactics. He was a lawyer by himself. So he knew all the subtleties of law. He was also a very famous man, very rich man. He had his own newspaper also. He had a lot of money, stinking rich. And he was looting the public like anything, and nobody could talk to him because he was a very cunning man, very brilliant man. Nobody could say anything. He had political contacts and all that, you know. Somehow or other, you know, ISKCON devotees came across Mr. N. And they purchased. Now you may think, you know, ISKCON devotees are so innocent and they are coming across Mr. N. If Mr. N can cheat the public, how can he cheat devotees even more easily, isn't it? But you have to know, above the devotees head is Krishna, you know. Now, Krishna looked so innocent and tender as a small baby when Putana took him and allowed him to suck her breast. Such a huge Putana was killed. So, in the same manner, when devotees approached Mr. N, he was very happy. All these naive fellows, they come from America and I can easily cheat them, he thought. So, he sold the property second time for the ISKCON devotees, and they got it. And then eventually devotees came to know that. And then what Mr. N did, after the devotees occupied the place, he tried to evict them, saying that, no, now you all cannot stay here, you have to quit the place because it is sold to another party first and all that. And then actually devotees will ask for the money back, correct, no? Okay, you give the money, we will go. And he would say, naturally, I'll give the money, first you evict, then I'll give money. And after evicting, what he would say? No money now, do whatever you want. That was his plan. So when he told the devotees to quit, devotees called Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, don't quit. You have to stay there. Prabhupada said, any cost. And this fellow sent gundas with cycle chains and bottles. Such heavy gundas came to beat up the devotees. They barged into the campus and they begged the devotees severely. They pulled the saris of American Matajis who were there. And they demolished the little construction the devotees had done, you know. And they made a flyer with blasphemous words against ISKCON, which they distributed in the Santa Cruz railway station. And all over Andheri and near the around the Juhu temple. So that they wanted to make uproar in the public, so people will come and, you know, throw out the devotees. That kind of messages were written. Some bad things about devotees didn't do at all. And he was distributing those flyers. And he stopped the municipality water going to the campus. Then what water will you drink? There is no water to drink. There is no water to bathe. There are so many mosquitoes infested place it is. So many cockroaches, mosquitoes, rats. And American devotees are never used to living in such austere conditions. And in these conditions, they called Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, don't quit. Prabhupada said, you have to stay. So, you can imagine how difficult it must have been. Of course, devotees gave back the property to Mr. N and they quitted. Because at one time devotees started, it's becoming too much. And Prabhupada heard the news, he said, everything is finished. Prabhupada said, he was so feeling bad. Can you imagine the quitting the property and again going back and rebuilding everything? Prabhupada did that. So Prabhupada took it up and he said, he returned back to India and he went to the property himself. When he was arguing with Mr. N, devotees were fearing that Mr. N should not do anything to Prabhupada or something, you know. Prabhupada was very, very bold in negotiating and talking. And at last, Mr. N understood how dangerous this Swamiji is. He understood. At one point of time, you know, Prabhupada said, Mr. N was killed by the Narsingadev. He died. He got a heart attack and he died. And then Prabhupada negotiated with his wife, Mr. N's wife. Prabhupada talked to her and paid some amount and at last he got the property. So Prabhupada says that in the fight between Kamsa and Krishna, who wins? Always Krishna wins. The fight between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, who wins? Prahlada always wins. So devotees should be very confident and bold and courageous in serving Krishna and they should be very tolerant. And then Prabhupada told the devotees, you see, all people around us in Juhu may say, or even our minds may say, Prabhupada said, there are so many places in India to preach, why should, in all this entire world, why should we come to this place which is a disputed property and fighting with Mr. N, having so much of struggle, bad name, bad publicity and everything, why should we struggle? You may think like that. Prabhupada says in one of his talks, he said, but we have to persist. Why? He said, that is the meaning of a Vaishnava. Although Vaishnava can go everywhere else, he has to come to the heart of the city, stay there and preach, and tolerate all the insults that people may give. And be willing to tolerate them on behalf of Krishna. Then only Krishna will be pleased. So, in those days, when Prabhupada was staying in Juhu in the early days, you know, one gentleman would drive Prabhupada to some places. That was the only man available, but, you know, Prabhupada would be sitting, and right next to him, there would be a big dog, you know, in the car. You know, he would keep a big dog. So he would be driving, Prabhupada would be here, and the dog would be here in center. Prabhupada would be feeling a little uneasy, you know, sitting with the dog. So Prabhupada told the devotees later, you see, in the early days, there was no one to help me in Bombay. There was only one man who would drive me to different places, and I had to sit along with the dog. And the world Jagadguru, world Acharya, founder Acharya sitting, he has to sit along with the dog in the car, you can imagine. But Prabhupada said, he tolerated the dog which is hanging his tongue, hanging down, looking at Prabhupada. You know? So Prabhupada said, yes. You know? When Prabhupada went to the West, you know, what Sally Agarwal says, when Swamiji was coming to our home, you know, Gopal Agarwal and Sally Agarwal, you know, therefore, Gopal's father was in India. He gave visit to Prabhupada and everything. And they were feeling so uneasy. Why uneasy? Because in our community, it's a closed community, you know. People will talk that, you know, hey, who is this old man who has come to your place? And we have to tell them that it's an Indian Swami who is living with us. What will happen to our prestige? What will people think of us? They were thinking like that. Actually, Gopal Agarwal says in Lilamruti Vilri, his father would give visa to many Swamis. And Gopal would be thinking, maybe this one will come. But dozens of Swamis visas were given, they never came. And he thought that Prabhupada is also one such Swami, he thought. But then Prabhupada exactly landed there. You know, Prabhupada took the visa and they arrived there in America. So, his wife was feeling even more bad. It's not that their house was small. They had a big house, spacious house, all facilities and everything. But still, that presence of Swamiji was really making them feel uneasy. Because, you know, he's a different type of man, different culture. He's a Swami, he's a renunciate, wearing mendicant dress. Like when we sometimes go to Grihastha's home, you know, we feel uneasy to stay for a long time. We don't feel very comfortable there. When I was traveling in America, we had to stay in different homes, you know. You know, going. So, we feel uneasy that they may feel uneasy, and they feel uneasy that we may feel uneasy. Sometimes. So, but Prabhupada was very shrewd and smart. You know what he did? He knew that these are grihasthas and I should not, in the name of sannyasi, I should not demand too many things. So Prabhupada lived in one corner, and you know, he would cook himself every day. And he kept potatoes in a fridge where meat was also kept. Fishes were kept there. Prabhupada tolerated. At one time, Sally Agarwal told Prabhupada, "Swamiji, sorry, you know, we are keeping these things in the fridge." Prabhupada would say, "Forget about it. Don't talk about it. No problem." You know, he would say like that. And he tolerated like that. And she says, the woman means they like talking. She would tell so many things about him. Prabhupada would just continue hearing. Prabhupada would be sitting in the chair and he would be eating prasad that he has cooked himself. And she would be cleaning the room, attending to child and everything. Prabhupada would absolutely not disturb her at all. Later on she says, when Prabhupada was leaving, Prabhupada had developed such a sweet grandfather relationship with the whole family. In fact, she says, he is the best guest we have ever had in our life, Swami Prabhupada. She says, he was more than a grandfather to us. He was so kind, generous. He would give cooking tips, Swami, how you can cook different items. When he was cooking, we thought he may be cooking something mediocre. But his cooking was so great that we started begging him, can you cook for us also? Then every day he started cooking for us also. Then we started eating that prasadam. And she says, Prabhupada was such a expert guest, because he was extremely tolerant, even in such situations. As brahmacharis, sometimes we go, you know, to some place and we have our sadhana card, you know. Sometimes if some seva is given, probably 9:30, can you do this? And you know that it will become 10:15 or something. And immediately everyone escapes thinking that somebody else will do. Isn't it? Of course, we can try our best to avoid the service as decently as possible because we have a habit of sleeping early. But sometimes one should be willing to sacrifice one's sleep if need be. Sometimes one should be willing. Of course, it's not that you go voluntarily out of the way and keep awake till 11 o'clock. You don't have to do that. But if there is a dire need of the situation, managers are coming, they're begging you, Prabhu, there is. Like, you know, when we went to Mayapur this time, there was Prasad Seva. Gaurang Prabhu said, "Rasham, we are giving whole Prasad Seva to you." First thing I told him, see, morning and afternoon we will do, but night service please don't give. Our devotees are unfit for that, I told him. Because Pune devotees will cry with the nose that we have to sleep. I told them, because they go to sleep very early, you know, and get up very early in the morning. And he told me, no problem. He said, "I will give it to you and you can pass it to somebody else. But you have to take the overall responsibility, Pune." So Murari Prabhu arranged it like that, correct? You all did morning and afternoon. Of course, morning, whole chanting time was taken in prasadam serving, but you all got up very early, correct? Then you could chant. So we tried, it worked. In case it didn't work, then nobody has to serve, then we should be willing. No, yes, it is true. You know, we have to go. Some of us may have to go late night, 11 o'clock once in a while. So, certainly we need, if we are not able to exhibit tolerance at a time when we have to exhibit tolerance, then we will never learn tolerance. When the opportunity is given to us, that is the time we have to learn. So I recently read a very interesting definition of tolerance. Tolerance means forbearance and forgiveness. These two things. What is forbearance? What are the things that we have to tolerate? What are the things that we have to have forbearance for and forgiveness for? These are two different things. For example, you have heard the famous statement of Prabhupada. One's greatness has to be estimated by how one can tolerate provoking situations, he says. Now, what Haridas Thakur was subjected to by the prostitute is a provoking situation. So, in the face of temptations, we need forbearance. When we are tempted by lust, we need forbearance. Time to time, I'm hearing nowadays, counselors reporting to me that, you know, Prabhuji, one boy had a problem with pornography, site downloading, you know. Occasionally, time to time, this news comes, which means they could not resist the temptation that was available to them. You see, we all have taken strict vows. If you are initiated, you have already taken the vows. If you are going to be initiated, you will be taking the vows. And especially when we become brahmacharis, we are living in the ashram. In the ashram, we have to lead a very pure life. If we try to cheat our counselors, superiors, then we will cheat ourselves only. Like in those days, our brahmacharis were making some slideshows, you know, for one-time programs and all. So they were collecting some pictures from different places. So one senior brahmachari said, there are many good pictures available in foreign books, you know. Behind the temple, there is man is, you know, that's a shop. Very nice books are there, we can get pictures. We'll take our camera with us and click some photos and come. So they gave some special prasadam to man is owner and, you know, made him some sort of favorable person, you know. And then he said, okay, you can come and click photos if you want. He allowed them. So they go to the shop and come and click some photos and come and use it for our making PPTs. So later on, what happened? One devotee who had gone, he was a junior devotee, who went to the senior devotee, to the shop. Later on, the senior devotee would never go, but the junior devotee, he started growing in his Krishna consciousness over the years. So whenever you become tempted by lust, you know, he would go out of the temple alone. He would go to the shop and turn some pages of very dirty pictures. Because such shops like Crossword and Manis and all, they have many dirty other books also they have. So you'll be going, flipping through the pages, because many times there are not many people there, you know. You'll be going through that. So by watching those things, you know, he was wetting his consciousness more and more. Like a dry firewood becomes wet. Like that he was wetting his consciousness. And he became saffron also actually. He was a saffron devotee. And over a period of time, after some years, he had to leave. He left the ashram after that. Why? Because, you know, little by little, when we don't resist temptations and we succumb to temptations, we become like a wounded deer. When a tiger is chasing a deer, it becomes a bit wounded. It becomes weak, you know. And again, the deer becomes wounded 2, 3, 4, 5 times again and again. Then the deer becomes a prey for the tiger completely. So we should not allow ourselves to succumb to temptations. So we have taken vows, and we have to strictly follow the vows. And we have to strictly follow the moral principles. We have to have the principle of integrity. Integrity means to do what we have promised. That is integrity. So keeping our vows sacred, keeping the sacred vows strictly, and following the principles of morality, this is also one of the aspects of tolerance. It requires tolerance. It is called forbearance. Forbearance means, yes, there are temptations, but I will find out. Okay, in case, due to some reason, one has slipped and fallen down in an unpremeditated way, then one can pray to Guru, Krishna, go to seniors, equals, and take help. And one should build up again, spiritual strength. One shouldn't get weak. When we get into these bad habits, when we are not getting the higher taste, see, what is the meaning of Param Drishtva, higher taste? Higher taste means, like Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Tad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta. He says that, my dear Lord, my chitta is magna in your Mahavirya Ananda. Tad Virya Gayana Mahamrita. My chitta is completely absorbed in glorification of your wonderful pastimes. So much so that I have no time to quarrel with my father. I have no time to make a plan to, you know, cause some, you know, inconvenience for my father, or problem for my father, Hiranyakashipu. See, Prahlad did a small offense of not obeying his father, by accepting him as God, you know. Father Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill him, kill his own son. The other day we were talking about this. But Prahlad could tolerate how? He was getting higher taste. Higher taste means maintaining a cool head even in the face of terrible adversities. That is higher taste. Even in the face of temptations and difficulties, to maintain a cool head and go on with one's Krishna consciousness. That is forbearance. Also, another aspect of forbearance is not losing faith in scriptures, in Guru, in Krishna, in Vaishnavas, in holy name, even when there are tremendous difficulties, preserving one's faith. That is also called as tolerance. One should never think, how can this happen to me? How can Krishna do this to me? No. One should never lose the faith. One requires tolerance. Because it's not that just because we have become devotees, you know, there won't be any difficulties. There will be difficulties. Bali Maharaj was put into such difficulty. Terrible difficulties. So not losing faith in such trying circumstances. So some people give up and go away. They give up their faith. Or if they don't get quick results, people give up. One requires patience. Like Chataka Pakshi, you see. It is always waiting for the Swati rain, for the special rains. And it doesn't look down to the reservoirs of water on the ground. It always waits for the rain. Directly from the sky it rains. Similarly, one should wait for the Krishna Premamrit. One should not drink anything else for this fall. Especially Brahmachari. A Brahmachari should be longing to attain Krishna Prem and preserve one's purity. We should live our lives like a chaste wife. Like a chaste wife, she puts a, Vishwanathar Thakur gives this example. She puts a big kumkum on her forehead. And she may have a beautiful moon-like face. And you know, eyes like a lotus petal and everything. Sometimes if a man sees a good-looking woman, you know, he will be staring at her face again and again. Look at her eyes, look at her nose, look at her lips, he will be looking. And a woman, when she is wearing a big kumkum on her forehead, she is telling him, "You rascal, don't you see I have a kumkum on my forehead? What does it mean? I'm already married. I belong to another man. And don't you see I'm wearing a Mangal Sutra in the neck? Don't you see that?" And she gives a sharp look as if she is going to burn him to ashes by her look. Like that, when Maya is looking at all living entities, making her own plans, how to tie them up and slap them, whip them and beat them, devotees wear their beautiful tilak. And show to Maya, look at me. Don't you know? This tilak, what is the meaning of tilak? This Krishna's lotus feet. It's Tulasi. So this body is actually meant for Krishna. She's wearing Mangal Sutra, wearing Kantimala. Don't you see I'm wearing Kantimala? I'm not going to break any of the principles that you may want me to break. And devotees are so cheerful and blissfully situated in Krishna Prem, Krishna Seva. But Maya is surprised, right? You know, these guys are not accepting any of the allurements I am offering, and still they are so happy. Because everyone in this world is chasing after Maya to get happiness. And they get thorough kicks and slaps. They get. So, devotee should live a pure life, not succumbing to these temptations and having this forbearance. So this is one aspect of tolerance. Being forbearant in the face of temptations and preserving one's faith. Even in the time of storm. See, when there is a heavy storm in the ocean, you know, if a boat is tied to an anchor like this, it may go this way, that way, but it will never get swayed away. But if it is not tied to the anchor of Krishna's lotus feet, then the boat will get swept away. Completely. So, there are times of storm, time of calm. So when there is a time of calm, just now all of you are having time of calm now. There is no immediate problem now. At that time, what we have to do? We have to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Just like in Pune, near Pune temple, there is an army battalion. So there is time of calm now. What are they doing now? Get up in the morning, early morning, left, right, left, about, turn. You know, they are going for march past, learning how to shoot with a gun, learning how to wear the uniform, how to fight the battle. They do mock fight, India-Pakistan fight and all that. They practice years together. And then there's a time of storm. When the real fight comes, that time they will exercise all the things that they learned before. So, we have to stabilize our Krishna consciousness and eventually get the higher taste at the time of calm. So once we get a higher taste at the time of calm, at the time of storm, that higher taste will come to help. And then we'll be able to win the test. Another aspect of tolerance is to forgive those who offend us. That is also tolerance. For example, for a small mistake I told you the other day, Ambarish did, Durvasa became willing to kill him. See, whenever somebody offends us or insults us, what is our immediate response? Anybody can say? What's our immediate response? If somebody insults me, or offends me, or blasphemes me, or finds fault with me, ridicules me, one thing is retaliate back. Immediately, give it back. Like Indra, he saw, hey, the Rivasis are not doing puja for me, every year they were doing, now they offended me by not doing Indra puja, then what he did? It's not that, you know, he took little waters and wetted their bodies, moistened their bodies to play with them or joke with them. Sometimes we throw water on somebody, you know, to wet their body and make them scream, you know. Not like that. He used the water to beat them up. Kill them, practically. Kill the cows, kill the Vajavasis. So, when somebody offends someone, one may want to retaliate back. What else one may do? Okay, if we don't have the shakti to retaliate, what we may do? We may wish bad for them, or we may spread bad news about them, blaspheme them behind their back. Now we may do like that. Yeah. Any examples for this from Shastra? Wishing bad for somebody, spreading bad. Gopal Chappal, wishing bad for Haridas Thakur. Like that. One more thing we might do. Yes. Yeah. Correct. Shringi cursed Parikshit. I retaliated back. Yeah. Or we may hold grudges against them. Correct? Like, see, Ashwathama, you know, he killed 5 Pandava children. He deserved to be killed. Sarjana was about to kill him. But who stopped it? Draupadi and Yudhishthira Maharaj. They don't stop. Then he was stopped, and then there was talk going on, conflict happened between them, and at last it was decided that they will not kill him. And they will just take away the jewel from his head and leave him. So they mercifully not kill him. They didn't kill him. They left him. But he maintained grudges in his heart. What is the proof that he maintained grudges? What is the proof? Again he put Brahmastra. For what purpose? To kill whom? Parikshit Maharaj, yeah, who was the last Shishu in the Pandava dynasty. He wanted to kill the child. So, we maintain grudges. We bury our grievances. Just like this fellow, Drupada, he buried his grievances against Drona. So, although he bowed down and all, it was superficial bowing down. Because he wanted to go back and, you know, make his army more stronger and attack back. And kill him back. Now we are not kings, we are not having army or elephant or horse or anything. We are all shavanated, simple Vaishnavas, are going to be shavanated. You know. So, but we also have these tendencies, 3 tendencies. Holding grudges, or wishing bad for others, or cursing them, or retaliation. This is the common response of a conditioned soul in this world. But being Vaishnavas, we cannot behave like a conditioned soul. Then what are we supposed to do? We have to learn. If you want to make proper advancement in Krishna consciousness, we have to learn forgiveness. Like I told you about Prahlad. Prahlad prayed for one who tried to kill him, his father. He prayed to Lord, please deliver my father. Please offer him liberation. See, Prahlad prayed for somebody who tried to destroy him or kill him. It's very rare. Ambarish also prayed to save Durvasamani. You see, here is a beauty. A Vaishnava means he always takes shelter of the Lord. He never takes any shelter of material shelters. But one who is a non-devotee, you will see, he always goes for some material shelters. For example, Durvasamani, when he was in trouble, Sarasana was chasing, what shelter he took? He went always for material shelter. You know, he had the ability to fly. Now he thought, I will go underwater. I will go up above in the sky. I will enter into the caves in Himalayas. He tried all that. Sarasana, wherever he went, it came back. Then he went to Shiva, then he went to Brahma, then he went to Vishnu. You see, generally such yogis cannot enter Vaikuntha Loka. Vaikunthalaka is only for bhaktas. But how he could get entry, I asked this question to Rasaraj Prabhu. He said, you got a special visa, he said. No, because of this particular pastime. For performing this pastime, he got a special entry. Otherwise, such people cannot enter into Vaikuntha at all. Why he got entry? Because the Lord wanted to show that if somebody offends his devotee, even he cannot help the devotee. He has to seek forgiveness from the devotee. That is why Lord allowed a special entry, he said. So you find, he took shelter of his own tapobal, yogic bal. Is it not true? Sringi took shelter of what? When he became upset with Parikshit's behavior with his father. What shelter he took, Sringi? Brahma Tejas. You always find that. Materialistic people take material shelters. Materialistic minded people always will go for material shelter. So, in our life we should see, when troubles come, do we immediately think of Guru, Krishna? Do we go for that shelter? Or do we take shelter of our own intelligence to make a plan to defeat that other person, to prove to him, I am right, you are wrong, or to blaspheme him, or take advantage of some of the foul words we have accumulated over the years to use against them? Do we take shelter of that? Sometimes we think, you have made me cry, now I will make you cry. Is that our mentality? That means we are not tolerant. You see, Prithu Maharaj became so angry when Indra was stealing the horse again and again, 2-3 times. So he sent his son, you know, Vijita Ashwa. Vijita means one who conquered and brought the horse back. It's called Vijita Ashwa. His name was actually Ajita, I think. He was also called Vijita Ashwa. So when he sent, then Indra started wearing the saffron dress of a mendicant, and you know, he cheated and all. The father, Prithu, became angry. He said, Indra is doing again and again. Now I myself will go now. He stood up, took his bow, took his arrows. Seeing that the Brahmana said, oh great king, you are the yajaman, you are the organizer of the sacrifice. It's not befitting you to kill anybody. It will be inauspicious for the yajna. You sit down here. And we will, you don't have to worry much about Indra. We will put a mantra now, by which wherever Indra may be in the universe, this mantra will suck him into the fire. He will come here with his head down, leg up. He will go into the fire. He will burn to ashes. And you won't have any more nuisance, they told. And they were about to begin putting that mantra. That was the time who came? Brahma arrived there. And Brahma ordered them to stop it. And you know, stop the yajna and everything. Although Prithu was angry at the point of time, and Brahma told him, immediately cool down. He said, okay. Whatever you order me to do, I'll do. You are my superior. And you are the representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever you say, I will do. Immediately obliged. That is tolerance. Oftentimes when we fight with another devotee or something, we maintain grudges. We don't give it up so easily. You know, we think in our mind that such and such devotee is my enemy. We think like that. But he was not like that. Prithu Maharaj was immediately willing to, you know, give up the quarrel fight for universal welfare. Prabhupada said that the wheels keep moving. That means mission should never be stopped in the name of two devotees quarreling. Like say, today evening we are supposed to go for Harina and two devotees had a quarrel. It broke out. And then the whole Harinam is stopped today because we want to sort out the quarrel. So the mission is stopped. So the mission should keep moving. That should never be stopped. Yeah. So this is also, this is the meaning of, so if we cultivate this quality of titiksha, we call it. Titiksha means tolerance. If we cultivate this quality of tolerance, the Lord will become very pleased with us. Krishna becomes very pleased. Lord Vishnu told the Prithu, I am more pleased with you than even Indra also. Indra is Shatakratu and you are 99 Kratu. But still I am more pleased with you than him. Why? Because you are a champion of character. Indra is a champion of accomplishments. He has his records. He has his Guinness Book of World Records. His name is there that he has done 100 Yajna. And he is a Indra also holding the post. But he has not pleased me. But you have pleased me by your noble quality of tolerance. So we have to cultivate such noble qualities like tolerance and humility. Only then we can Morning, I'll speak on Amani Namanadena. Yeah? Yes, one question. Like a seed. The sweetness goes away. So to re-establish the sweetness, both the people should be willing to give up the old perception. It's not one man job, you know. Like if one devotee is willing to bend and the other devotee maintains the old grudges, then the sweet relationship cannot develop. If both of them understand that we both were good friends before, now it has become a little strained. And we have to push the blame on Kali, as I told you the other day. We should say, Prabhu, what to do? This is Kali Yuga, you know. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel. You know, even though we don't want quarrel, some small misunderstandings grow into big misunderstandings. But you are a wonderful devotee, I am a wonderful devotee. Let us kick out this Kali and let us be good friends. Either we should think, you know. Actually, it is true. This is not some imagination. It is reality. Actually, two devotees in our ashram were arguing. When I heard their argument, I found, actually, their argument, both are saying the same thing, but slightly in a different way. You know? This fellow is seeing from here and saying it is blue, this fellow is saying it is brown. But actually, they are seeing the same thing. You know? But then I sat with them, it took 1 or 2 hours in the conflict resolution, and they understood that they are saying the same thing, but slightly differently. Understand, no? This is the age of quarrel. So we have to, you have to ask yourself, if you are going to live lifelong, do we want this kind of enmity? It's not a, see, it doesn't help us to grow our heart, you know. See, we want to develop fondness for Krishna. How can that love and fondness for Krishna grow in a heart which is unhealthy, you know, which is maintaining some grudges? That is why it is said, if you want to make proper advancement in spiritual life, you know, we have to learn to forgive those who offend us or insult us. You know, we learn from Jesus, we learn from Haridas Thakur, how to forgive those who offend us. And so, how to avoid that perception or that grudge which was there, for that we have to unconditionally serve the devotee, you know, in various ways, appreciate the devotee. One thing I'll tell all of you, we should never give feedback to another devotee without, you know, the devotee asking us. Sometimes even if somebody asks you, you give feedback. As soon as you give feedback, the devotee takes another 1 hour time to prove to you that your feedback is wrong. You know? So best is to not give feedback. You can take the feedback to the authorities and they will know how to deal with the situation. Best is to always see good in others, praise their good qualities, appreciate them. Encourage each other. Because Kali Yuga, you know, we have fragile bodies and minds. People are not having enough strength to digest, you know, feedback, you know, when people give. Yeah?
If we have like close relationships, it's more closer than other devotees. At that time, can we
Yeah. Then in that time also the feedback should be very short. It should be plus, minus, plus. It should be plus, minus, plus. It should be like that. Plus, minus, plus. It should be like that. You know? Then only they may take it. You know?
Yes.
You know plus and plus all of you?
Yes.
You don't know?
Positive.
No, positive? Yeah. The room for improvement. And again, lot of appreciation. Then they may take it, probably. You know? Now it's time now. You all should take rest. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakta Vendra ki.
One day I come to the mind.